tell me what another Trump win in South Carolina means.
Well, it means that he has demonstrated his ability to win in several very different locations in the United States. And so if you're looking for somebody who has wider geographic appeal, that has to be good for Donald Trump. He's also demonstrating that his message doesn't, while it doesn't resonate with everybody in the GOP electorate, he does have broadly based support from a number of groups that are key members of the GOP voting bloc.
Okay. Kind of an interesting thing that I heard this morning is that even though Trump is winning these early states, he's not doing so with a majority of the primary voters. Obviously, it's going to be really hard to do that just because of the number of candidates that are still in the race. But essentially what they were saying is, what will it take for one of these other candidates to kind of gather all the votes that Trump isn't getting and generate that broad-based support that only he and apparently Cruz in Iowa are seeing?
Well, the quick and easy but overly simplistic answer is to have everybody else drop out of the race except one challenger to Trump, and then those two could go head-to-head, because you're correct, Trump isn't getting over one-third of the total group that is voting in the Republican primaries. However, the problem is that now at least two of the contenders are doing equally well, and that, of course, is Cruz and Rubio, who essentially tied in South Carolina this past weekend. So neither of them has an incentive to drop out of the race. Hence, they're splitting the anti or the non-support of Trump vote. And then we still, of course, have a couple of other people in the race also with perhaps an incentive to stay, one of them being Governor Kasich, who is waiting for the primaries in Michigan and Ohio, whose strategy is to talk about doing well in the Midwest. So at this point, he too does not, or his advisors don't see a complete incentive for him to drop out. So unlike the Democratic primaries, where it's one-on-one, what you've got here is a bunch of different contenders who are splitting the vote.
Talking about the remaining candidates, how significant is it that Bush, arguably at the beginning of this process, the candidate with one of the higher name recognition points, how significant is it that he is no longer in the race?
I think what it demonstrates is the fact that you have to pay attention to the context of an election year, and a large part of that context this year is voter dissatisfaction with a quote-unquote establishment and establishment politicians. And, of course, the Bush name, while it has great name recognition, is certainly very, very strongly linked with the GOP establishment, and this seems to be a year in which at least many GOP primary voters are looking for something and someone different, with a different kind of message, or at least a candidate who can say, I have something different going for me. And that just was very hard for Jeb Bush to make a message about that seemed to be resonating with the voters.
Perfect. So kind of talking about the anti-establishment and how the rhetoric is going specifically on the Republican side of things, at this point, everybody always says that the good strategy in an election is to go far enough to the left or the right, depending on your party, to get the nomination, but then you have to kind of capitulate back toward the center. Is the challenge going to be for whoever the Republican nominee is overcoming how far they've had to push to the right to get the eventual nomination? Is that going to pose a challenge for them as they try to swing back to get moderate voters in the general?
This is why all of the candidates and the political parties hire outstanding strategists to craft a message. And And what you, of course, have mentioned is running toward either the right or the left to get your party's nomination, depending upon which party. But this is absolutely nothing new in the United States. This is a general phenomenon. And so what you need to do is to think about how you want to run a general election thematic campaign with messaging. However, what the bottom line is, you first have to win the nomination. So that, at the moment, that is job one. And I honestly don't think the candidates are worrying about the general election at this point.
Gotcha. One more thing on the Republicans before we move on to chat about the Democrats briefly. As we're seeing in the number of delegates that the Republicans have taken, Kasich and Carson obviously kind of running at the bottom of the pack in terms of the delegates and in terms of the results. How critical will next week's primaries be to Kasich and Carson, and will we see either of them or both of them leave depending on the results from next week?
I think that without prognosticating, which I'm terrible at doing, without prognosticating about who will drop out, I do think Super Tuesday, which is next week, because there are so many states voting, and although a majority of them are in southern areas, there are also other states in other parts of the country with a lot of delegate totals, some 600, I think, for the Republican Party. It will be a very important time, a very important indicator of how candidates are doing in different geographic locations, but also in with different groups of voters. But you have to remember also, candidates make up their own minds about at what moment they drop out, and different candidates may have different strategic interests. I'm not saying that anybody is doing this, but for example, one strategic interest might be to say, gee, I would be a fine vice presidential candidate, so I'm going to stay in the race to show that I can still capture important parts of the country, like, say, the state of Ohio.
Okay. All right. So there's an ulterior motive potentially going on here where they're trying to say, yes, look at me, I also have name recognition, and then behind the scenes make the play for a VP spot?
Yes, again, that is a possibility. I'm absolutely not saying that any person is doing that at the moment, but it would be certainly a politically viable calculation, I think, for at least one of these candidates.
Gotcha. All right, moving on to the Democrats. Hillary takes Nevada over the weekend. She obviously has a huge lead in the delegates and superdelegates. Are we going to continue to see ongoing kind of back and forth between Bernie and Hillary?
This is going to be very interesting because although both political parties, both the Dems and the GOP, have these superdelegates who are party regulars, who are part of the nominating process at the party convention, but are not tied to any one candidate. These people are more important in the Democratic Party than in the Republican Party because the Democratic Party has more of them. And at the moment, these individuals, although they are free to change their mind at any moment, these delegates seem to be lining up behind Clinton. And so that is important for her. On the other hand, these are all political figures. They're looking at what is the best political calculus for the party. And we know that Clinton had more, at the beginning of 2008, had most of the super delegates under her wing, and then they began as the process wore on that winter of 2008, they began to move toward Obama. And eventually, of course, he did win them over. So at the moment, it looks as though the super delegates are working very much to Clinton's advantage. But as I say, they may make a political calculus. She definitely is mounting her delegate total much more rapidly than Sanders is.
Gotcha. Talking interestingly enough that you brought up 2008, one of the things that I'm reading and seeing is that Bernie Sanders, much like Obama was in 2008 and again in 2012, generating a lot of support and kind of excitement among very specifically younger demographics, whereas I believe we talked about 2 weeks ago that a lot of Hillary support is coming from significantly older voters. What kind of importance does that demographic shift have for those two particular candidates?
One of the things we have to remember is that whether we like it or not, one of the truths of American electoral turnout is that older individuals tend to vote more regularly and in larger percentages than the youngest demographic of voters. Reality is at the moment that Sanders is overwhelmingly winning the 18 to 29-year-old demographic. They are turning out 80-plus percent to vote for him. He's generating a lot of excitement. So the question will be, should he not get the nomination, what will happen with those voters? Will they move to Clinton? Will they just stay at home in the general election again, should Sanders not get the nomination?